In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Welcome back to Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Danny Murphy, and Sarah is staring at me on mute because, you know, recording in New York, there's 500 sirens, leaf blowers, bus honkings coming at her. Sarah, are you ready to join us?
Yeah, I don't want to dox myself, but I basically live in a hospital. Like, it is slightly ridiculous.
It almost, the sound, I was like, Sarah, did you call them? Because it felt like they were coming right towards you.
Surprise. This episode live from the emergency room.
This actually would be an episode that even if you were like, I have a doctor's appointment, I was like, Sarah, I have to talk about this documentary, so we're gonna have to Zoom with your ZocDoc or whatever.
This was one of those documentaries where I was like not respecting my friend's time at all. I was like, I don't care if you have a date tonight. Like, I don't care what you're doing. I'm going to stream of conscious text you all my reactions in real time.
Every single thing, 100%.
It was so good. So you guys, we're talking about the curious case of Natalia Grace. First off, 10 out of 10 name. I love a little like rhyme.
Very, very good name, and also a very good debut of Max. Because this is streaming on Max now, not HBO. Oh no. very intense. And also I love we picked it because we were like, oh, it's three parts, that's not bad. Cut to it being six parts. Cut to it being eight parts because there's a part coming out.
No.
Yes.
Wait, but not like immediately, right?
No. I think it's supposed to launch like at the end of the month or something like that.
Okay. Because I was like, we're going to be behind already. Oh, my God.
No, yeah.
I started watching it. And I was like, let's see what this is about. And I get hooked. And like my boyfriend and I usually watch, well, we're trying to finish Better Call Saul. So we usually watch that after I'm done with work. And I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I just have to binge this true crime documentary. And he's like, okay, no worries. Like, we'll do it tomorrow. And then the next day, I'm like, I have terrible news. There are two more episodes of this documentary that I did not know were out.
But they are out and about. And also, this is almost an update case for us because me and Sarah realized that we covered this case while it was like developing or kind of like all the information was out in 2019.
Yes.
And we were noticing people were like looking into that episode. So we wanted to also give it to you guys even with more because I feel we know so much more now.
We know so much more. We were talking about this. We're like, I don't think we even took a side back then.
No.
But I definitely remember thinking like, well, maybe there's something in the middle. Like, maybe she's not 30, but maybe she's not 6. Like, you know, you could be 8 or
exactly
whatever.
And also, we'll get into how exactly everyone got duped. But I was like, because I was like, how could they not say her real age in court? Cut two.
Oh, I'm so angry.
Cut two. All right. So
my blood was boiling yesterday when I finished. But so we're going to kind of run through the main facts of the documentary. But I want to like leave some things out. But you guys really all need to go watch it. Like, it's so good. I feel like aside from Natalia, which I'm like, I don't even know if they showed a thing of, oh, Natalia, we asked Natalia to comment and this is what she said. Like, I assume they tried to reach out to her.
That's the next part. It's a two-part Natalia Speaks.
Okay, good. Because I'm like, they really got everybody for this documentary. The one person that they did not get that I think would have really, really helped was they should have gotten a child abuse expert.
That's very real.
Because so many of these like weird behaviors that they describe, I'm like, well, that is a textbook sign of child abuse. Like,
really,
yeah, it might seem weird if you're a full grown adult, but if you consider that you're just talking to a child, like, it's not weird. So I think that would have helped put a lot of things in context.
It's interesting you say that because I watched with my mom and she was like an elementary school principal for decades. And that was, she was saying, because like whenever they were talking about actions Natalia did that made her feel more mature, that where people like, she has to be older because, or why is she acting like this? My mom's like, you know, that's textbook example of a child being abused, and like, because they were studying that and like trainings on that. So it is really, I feel, a miss. And I wonder.
Yes, totally.
Hopefully they include something along those lines for the two parts that are coming up, because it seems to be focusing all on Natalia. But that is a really good point. But they had legal experts and so much of the fucking adopted dad.
And so much, so many people like who met Natalia, who came into contact with her. I thought that was really great. They got pretty much everybody except Christine. Fuck Christine.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I could have handled both adopted parents on the screen.
No. Yeah. Michael had enough like erratic energy for both of them.
He did enough acting for the two of them.
Facts. So it is, well, I started, I wrote it's three parts. It's like six parts on Max.
Mm-hmm.
They started interviewing Michael Barnett in 2019, and it looks like they kept kind of interviewing him through 2022, which I'm like, that's a long ass time.
Pour one out for the cameraman, producers.
Facts.
That had to deal with this energy for 4 years.
Seriously. So he starts off, it's like, it's early 2010. Life is good. I had Lamborghinis in the driveway and 14 couches.
Sir, budget.
Why though? Like, first of all, where do you even put that many couches? Is this like Selling Sunset where you have like a like six bed, 22 bath?
It's also one of those things where I'm like, the Lamborghini, sure, that's a brag. They had a lot of TVs. Okay. Yeah. When he also said they had hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank. Okay. If you have 14 couches, I'm like, you just don't know how to style or interior design. And also you don't know what couches are for, I don't think.
It's not a flex.
No, it's really not
a flex. They have a different couch too. They do like a couch pairing with a TV show instead of like a wine pairing.
Oh, we need the lazy boy for this one. They also have a popcorn maker.
Yes, that was pretty cool. I love a popcorn maker. So Michael and his wife, Christine, have three sons, one of whom is named Jacob, who has autism and is very, very intelligent. He even gave like a teen TED talk. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's like, and they were kind of local local news celeb vibes with him because of him giving TED Talks and just being so, so intelligent. Because that's even how Christine wrote the book about having like a gifted child and everything like that. Yes. So they really know how to, let me put it lightly, exploit all of their children.
Oh, oof. No holds barred. So Michael says, he and Christine, basically, they go to adopt this little girl. They are given 24 hours to decide if they were going to adopt this girl, Natalia, from this agency in Florida. I don't even remember if the agency reached out to them or how it went, but it doesn't really matter. Because it was a closed adoption, they got basically no information about Natalia, just a Ukrainian birth certificate and a couple of photos and like no information about the family that she was with before them.
I think for context, just because I literally binged it all last night, I remember they were going to adopt a baby from Haiti, but then natural disaster there. So they weren't able to, they paused adoptions, but then like the service got their information loop with the Ukrainian ones. And they're like, we have a child, time starts now type of thing.
Yes. Okay. You're right.
Yeah.
So Michael says that a short while after they adopted Natalia, weird shit started.
He says this while like doing jumping jacks on the ground, handstands, black box community theater. I literally texted Sarah. I was like, this man is hoping to get a grad degree at NYU Tisch.
Seriously.
And if anybody listening watches this and is like, I believe everybody said,
well, you can't. Then if you believe every word he says, you haven't made it to like part four. But so he says that Natalia, mind you, they think she's six, showed him that she had full pubic hair. And he says that once they got back to Indiana, one day Christine found Natalia's underwear and noticed period blood in it. And Natalia supposedly confessed that she'd had a period and been hiding it. And I just have to say that like, I got my period when I was like 9 or 10. Like, big fucking deal. Like, you can get your period at 8. Like, it's not.
Right, it's not. And also, it wouldn't be a weird thing for her to, like, hide something she doesn't understand is what's going on. Also, because I know there was a lot of reenactments, but there was a lot of video footage of her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I was like, why are they filming her doing all this?
Yes, I never trust a family who's just, like, videoing every single minute action. I'm like, for what?
I mean, there's
like, why are you collecting evidence?
It's so I literally was looking at a thread of influencers who should not adopt children because of how they exploit their children.
Oop.
And it's I was like, why are you putting your camera right in front of this child you adopted's face to say, what did you do with your underwear? What did I tell you you did? I got my period. Like, it felt so weird.
Yeah, it just felt like from day one they were trying to document. So then they're allegedly suspicious that she's a little older than they bargained for. So they meet this other little girl in India. So also to caveat all of this is like Natalia has this very rare form of dysplasia. She's a little person and it's they I think they said like 3,400 people total have this form. So she's like very, very small, you know, has trouble walking.
So, which also I feel that's important to add in for some of the claims they say about her down the line.
Right. Because I think that's the only reason this story like took off in the first place with any sort of credibility, because someone without this kind of disability, like you can clearly look at them. I don't care what your skincare routine is. Like you can literally be like, no, that's a child, or okay, no, that's definitely an adult.
I can't walk in. I don't even get carded to rent a car anymore. You know what I mean? Like there's no duping people.
Exactly. So they meet this other little girl in Indiana who has the same form of dysplasia. And they said the other girl just looked so much smaller and younger. And they interviewed the mother of the girl who thought maybe Natalia was a teenager. The girl herself, the other little girl, also thought maybe that when they first met, she was like 18 to 20. So that was another possible thing. And the other thing is that Natalia doesn't seem to remember anything about Ukraine, doesn't appear to speak Ukrainian despite being there for the first 5 years of her life. But I'm like, if you were traumatized,
that's also, wouldn't that also make more advocation for her being the age that she said she was as a child? Because like, what do you remember about being three?
Yeah, exactly. Well, like, exactly. Yeah, it's also like it doesn't know that she, I don't even think that she doesn't remember things or she doesn't know how to speak it, but like they would just bring up random people to start talking to her in Ukrainian and she wouldn't respond, and like I wouldn't like either.
A scared child. If a kid person came up to me speaking English to me, I didn't know. I'd be like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Also, it is interesting too, like the age thing. It's like these two have the same condition, but they look different age. Like I looked 45 when I was a child too. So I mean, like that's also just that. Like I literally had an Old Navy cardigan in middle school. Like you know what I mean? There's layers.
And like a rolling backpack.
Oh, I never had one of those.
They show this picture of her next to the little girl and they took two pictures and they were like, in one of them, like her face looks like, you know, more gaunt, like an adult, like you lose the baby fat. And then they claim in the other picture, she puffed out her cheeks to look younger. But then if you look at every single other picture and video they show of her, she has like baby fat because she is a child. They tried to make it like she was so calculated. She knew to like puff out her cheeks to seem younger for that photo. But it's like every other photo you're showing of us looks like the one where she supposedly has her cheeks puffed out.
And also, why do I feel like that's just like a pose everyone did as a, like a pose you knew as a kid? You just like puff out your cheeks.
Yeah.
Or just a thing to do. Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
It's so, yeah. So the way the doc starts out, they really kind of, the first, I feel like one or two parts goes into a lot of the dark shit the family says that Natalia like tortured them with. Mm-hmm. So this is all from Michael's point of view. They said that she would do things like get in the car, and if they saw someone looking at them, she would throw herself out of the car. And he was like, she would do this to make it seem like she was like a helpless child. And I'm like, there are so many points where I'm like, are you equipped to be parents? Because even
also,
if a child-
Also, why don't you have child locks?
Child locks. And then also it's like, yeah, maybe a little kid like acts out for attention because they want attention because they're a child.
Yeah.
He also said that she would hide toys that her brother loved and throw them into traffic.
So that they would, the kids would like dart into traffic.
Into traffic and get, so she was able to calculate all of that from his point of view.
Right.
She would take kitchen knives and hide them in her bed. And there was one time where he was like, Natalia, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm waiting for you to sleep, because she said she wanted to kill the Barnetts in their sleep. It's also through all of this where he compared her strength to Arnold Schwarzeneggerian.
Yes, I wrote that.
It's like
he said she's got guns Schwarzenegger would be impressed with. And then they interviewed actual disabled people and they were like, no.
I mean, here we'll get into like a therapist diagnosed Natalia with sociopathy. And they recount this moment where she put Pledge in the mom's coffee, Christine's coffee, where like that was one of the main things that was discussed when the story first came out. My thing with all of this say all of that is true, and I don't know, I don't have kids, what is your home like where you have knives and pledge around?
That's for a fact, child, actually.
And especially also a child who is not like, it's not like she's, I mean, the raging question, it's like she is not at like the average height that could go. It's not like they're like, well, I can't put it in our cabinets. Like they would be able to have solves for that.
That's actually so true.
That was like, all I was thinking during this entire thing.
Are you guys just leaving the shit on the ground? Like, that's a good point.
Because how would she be able to grab pledge from somewhere, pledge or bleach, pour it into a coffee where her adult mother is putting her coffee cup?
That's a good point.
And then sneakily get away.
Wait, that's such a good point.
The way it's like watching this documentary, I was just on my couch like, put me in, coach. Yeah. I have things I want to fucking say.
Yes, totally. That's such a good point.
To add on top of that, they tell this story about visiting this farm because one of the sons wants to milk a cow.
Can't relate.
I'm not yucking someone's yum, but you know, go for it. Go for it. And they had to sign this. Oh my God. And they have to sign this waiver saying they won't sue if they get hurt by the electric fence. And Michael said when Natalia heard this.
This is quote, him in like peak acting mode, by the way.
Peak, very, you know, Meryl Streepian, or like he was trying to be like Lady Macbeth out damn spot. He said her eyes lit up like a Christmas tree and said, we don't get sued. I'm happily sign this waiver.
But I was like, what place is going to make a child under 18 sign a waiver on their own behalf? Like, that's just simply not how it works.
A guardian has to sign the waiver.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, what place is accepting a signature from an 8-year-old or 6-year-old as binding? Like, what are you? Do you even know how to write script? Like,
no, because that's what I'm like. And also, how does she know the details of like what an electrical fence is? All this stuff, like an 8-year, like. Just be like, that's bad, not knowing like, oh,
yeah,
the ripple effect of chaos I can cause right here.
Yeah.
Then this is when, yeah. So he said that Natalia tried to pull Christine into the fence with her Schwarzenegger guns. And Christine has lupus, so she's not as strong. Which I, like, they didn't get into her diagnosis.
Yeah, that only came up one time.
She very well maybe does. I also just need to reiterate that all of the people who had similar situations to Natalia would be, yes, still even then, I could not personally pull someone triple my size into an electric fence.
Yeah.
Natalia then supposedly was screaming, you effing bitch, I'm going to kill you. So the police got called. And at this point, they wanted her to get arrested, but the police were kind of like, okay. So they took her to the hospital.
The police are like, we're not going to arrest a child.
Yeah, they're like,
for something that did not happen, you know?
And they're like, but you don't understand. She signed a waiver. You don't understand it.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
So then the hospital transferred her from the children's wing to the adult wing after they discovered that she had pubic hair.
I'm like, what are you talking about? This is like extremely imprecise method for a hospital. Like 12-year-olds have pubic hair. Like how, what are you talking about? Like that is completely nonsensical.
But I know it's also just interesting that there was like, I would have appreciated more like records of this like explicitly being stated for everything, because it was kind of just from like anonymous people at the hospital and stuff.
Because yeah,
it's just a furthering, because we'll get into it, that it's like, did she actually have pubic hair? Was she actually getting her period? These are all things that are called into question.
And I just still can't, I'm sorry, I just still can't believe that a hospital would put someone with adults just because they find out that she had pubic hair. I'm like,
yeah,
I took notes on this, but I'm like, did I misremember? I'm gaslighting myself now, because that just doesn't make any sense.
No, literally not at all.
That would mean you would put like 13-year-olds with adults, theoretically. Like, what are you, what? There's no way.
The staff of the hospital further described her as very manipulative and very sexual, propositioning the male patients. And this is also really one of those main examples. And we even get in, like, I feel one of the neighbors she has also had a freak out about this, but it's really a sign of a child who is being sexually abused.
That's what I thought immediately. I was just like, okay, maybe she's not this like weird temptress that you guys are trying to make her out to be. Like, this is so obvious. And again, you are a hospital. Like, how do you not know this? I'm just a random ass person. And my first thought was, wait a second. So this is March 2012. So police respond to a report of child neglect. Apparently, Christine made Natalia sleep outside on their back deck. And then Michael says after 3 hours, he let Natalia back into the house. Like, what the fuck?
Who would do that to, like, I the things they were saying, I was like, how are you even allowed to have any children?
Seriously, it's so fucked up. So the police get called. The police officer who responds notices that Natalia hasn't grown at all since she first arrived in the U.S. And he's like, you know, if you're a child, you should grow. And so he thinks the birth certificate from Ukraine is fake and recommends the Barnetts get a new one. It's worth noting that the police department was not able to confirm or deny this alleged conversation. And in fact, later on in the documentary, they show one email to the adoption agency where this same police officer writes, it appears she is a child. So I'm like, BRB, let me just FOIA for those reports real quick.
Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, I'll come back in like 6 to 8 business months with that information. That's all redacted. So this like is just when it goes like, just, I don't know. I'm like, how? So many of these points, I'm like, how is this possible? So they go before a judge, and the judge just kind of like makes up her age. Like, he says, oh, if she hasn't grown in 4 years and you stopped growing at 18 and that was 4 years ago, now you're 22. And let me tell you guys, I have not grown past like the sixth grade. So therefore, I disapprove of this message.
Disapprove. It really was like the judge was in their Elle Woods being like, well, 4 plus 8 is dun, 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 dun. But I, my whole thing is like, I don't know about you, but I do not think she's feeling 22. Like, that is just an insane, that like, where, and also the whole thing with this, I'm like, can we call a doctor?
Right. They didn't call a doctor. And the other thing was, I remember when this story first broke, they were kind of giving all these reasons that seemed legit as to why someone with her form of dysplasia, like, you can't test for age or something. But now I'm just like, okay, no, that was totally a lie.
No. And I also feel, coming into the next point, they like almost used in the tabloidy conversation when it first broke of like, she's living on her own, she's an adult. It's like,
yep, she was not thriving.
She was not thriving, and now we realize. Please get into how she came to live alone.
Yeah, I just can't believe that a judge would like. I mean, I can believe it, but it's just like hard to wrap your head around the fact that a judge would just like essentially make up an arbitrary number just based on like their own like assumptions.
It's so
psychotic. I guess that's what you do for sentencing, but you know what I mean.
That's with some facts and stuff presented to them, not just like
there wasn't even a hearing. It was just they didn't call like any doctors. It was just this judge being like, okay, the TikTok, it's 2 + 2 = 4.
Literally.
So they end up finding Natalia an apartment and they pay for 3 months rent up front, and she's on food stamps, which I'm like, how are you, even as like an adult, I feel like it's hard to navigate government assistance.
Right.
So they ended up interviewing a couple of her neighbors. One neighbor says Natalia told her she's 22, but again, she was kind of like, well, legally I am 22. Mm-hmm. But this neighbor noted that her parents didn't take good care of her. Other neighbors noted that she didn't have good hygiene practices and she really wasn't self-sufficient. So then the Department of Child Services reopens their investigation, checks on Natalia, and she says Michael and Christine only give her food every 2 months. And then she kind of becomes like overly attached to the neighbors and would like enter people's houses unannounced. One of the neighbors described her as scary, but again, I'm like, this is a kid with like attachment issues because she's been abandoned.
It's not like she would enter the apartment and be like, I'm gonna get you. She went into the apartment being like, I'm hungry, or like in the looking in the fridge.
Yeah.
And also to all these people, I was like, if you're going to be like this, lock your goddamn door.
Well, I know, right?
Because they were like, why is she coming in? I'm like, all she's doing is going in the fridge to get like a bite to eat. And you said that she has no one taking care of her. Who's taking care of you, woman with the 28 Eiffel Towers? I'm just saying. Everybody really pissed me off on this documentary.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, some of her neighbors were pretty torn on like, some thought that she was an adult. Some thought she acted like a child. And then also, like, they observed some of the sexual behaviors that we don't really need to get into again. But it's just, like, again, just kind of seems to me like a sign of abuse. So then Christine finds a new apartment for Natalia because the family's moving to Canada because Jacob was invited to do his master's at, like, age 14. So I'm like, damn, drag me, Jacob.
I know. I was like, okay. I was, like, almost – that was another part I had to rewind, just be like, what's going on here?
Yeah, seriously.
So yeah, they just decided to up and head to Canada. So now it's 2015 and they are fully living there. And they move Natalia to this high crime area. Like even the people that were interviewed that live near here were like, I wouldn't let my kids walk around here unattended. One woman said, I have my weapon on me in my home.
She's strapped.
I have my weapon on me in the street. She's strapped. And I'd feel safe.
Even though Michael says on camera that it's a nice part of town.
And also, it's the best place possible for her. Wouldn't that be with a family that would care for her? I digress.
He sucks. Also, can we talk about the one guy who gets interviewed fully shirtless with like a herniated belly button?
And also, they didn't have to go pan that low for that reveal.
They truly did not.
But they did. Her neighbor in Lafayette, so said the first impression of Natalia was her saying that she doesn't have any food and she needs to call her parents for money. So then she was like, here, use my phone. And then Natalia just kind of looks at her like,
what do I do with this?
What do I do? So it shows that she doesn't know how to use a phone, know any numbers to call. And during this time, there's like social media exchanges between Michael and Christine. She loved a Facebook message, this Christine.
Which is weird. I'm like, you guys are still husband and wife at this point. Like, why don't you text?
I wonder, maybe they were on the outs.
Maybe.
And yeah, she was very weird and had a very interesting photo of them for this. So they were like kind of like scheming to make sure Natalia doesn't talk to people in Hamilton County because they don't want to be reported again. And they were like, you didn't pay the electric bill. She didn't have electricity. So just think about it. And also, to add all this, they put her on a second floor apartment. And with her disorder, it's not easy to walk, let alone go up. I think it ended up being all in all like 15 steps.
And also they wiped all the contacts on her phone.
So she couldn't, like, so that was like why she didn't have any numbers or anything in her head, because it was like she didn't know how to reach anybody. And Michael was like, you know, she remembered the number for Hamilton County. Like,
I don't know. I remember like the 5 phone numbers I learned in elementary school. I don't even know my boyfriend's phone number. I know his area code. But like, yeah, my one call in jail, unfortunately, would not be to him because I don't remember his number. So
no, it'd be like to my childhood home where nobody lives it anymore.
I would call J.G. Wentworth 877 cash now.
I'd call 678-555-8212 and hope someone will kiss me through the phone and get me out.
Oh my God.
So the apartment is really, really obviously not ideal for her. And Natalia disappears for a couple of days and apparently is living with a woman named Cynthia, who, shout out to Cynthia, because she is her currently adopted mother.
She's a real one. Like,
love Cynthia. She's a really cool dancer and a really cool person. At this point, the Barnetts
get... That was such a deep cut. Oh my God. You guys, if you know, you know.
If you know, you know. They accuse Cynthia of stealing Natalia's food stamps money and Social Security payments. But it's more so, I'm like, you mean they're giving Natalia her... Because if you're claiming she's 22, she should get her Social Security state payments.
Well, that. I'm also like, you're mad that she's taking the money that you were taking. Apparently, Michael was taking Natalia's Social Security and allegedly using it to pay her bills. But I'm like, yeah, the math doesn't math, because if she's an adult, she should get her own Social Security payments. Like, you can't have it both ways.
Exactly. You have to pick which lie you fucking want to go with.
Sketchy mix sketch.
So at this point, a new detective gets on the case. He talks to Cynthia, who says she tried to get legal guardianship of Natalia, but the courts wouldn't allow it. And Cynthia went on to say that Natalia is really afraid of Christine. Which we can understand why, but Cynthia had like Natalia like living with her and her family. There were videos of them not doing anything, just like cute shopping and stuff. So it seemed like Natalia really thankfully had a safe haven there. So now we get back to Michael, who says Christine abused him and she stayed in Canada with the boys and he's back in Indiana. This is when he was like, I was sexually assaulted by being withheld sex.
Yeah.
But that was the first step in. When the doc changes and he's like, oh, me and Christine, no, we're now enemies.
Yeah.
He gets visited by a detective and he accused Christine of being the mastermind behind the whole thing, choosing Lafayette because she says, quote unquote, it's a white trash town.
Oof.
And that quote goes back to kind of bite them a little bit, not really.
Oh, yeah.
Michael admits to the detective that at this point in 2019, he thinks that she's 20, 22, which means she would never, an adult, when they first dumped her off. So, like, your story just did not match.
He basically admitted to lying.
Yeah. And he was like, well, Christine told me to.
Right.
You're a grown man. And, like, this is a child. It's not like you're like, that's where it's, I'm like, I can understand being, like, coerced to doing something. But it's like, you're endangering a child. And that is exactly what he got charged with. And child abandonment.
Yes. Also, I just have to say that, like, the first half of the documentary, I feel like, is very... Is she a child? Isn't she? But then you see the photos of like her when she was with the Barnetts and her now. And you also see the videos and you're like, she clearly had the voice of a child. Her voice,
yes.
Like when she's on Dr. Phil and stuff, is so much deeper. Her face looks so much more mature. Like, this is clearly not even a thing.
It is so...
She literally sounds like a kid. Like, it's so obvious.
Fully.
Then in 2020, an investigator finds Natalia's birth mother's sister in Ukraine, and they call Natalia's mom, who says that she's been going through this saga for 17 years, which would put Natalia's birth in 2003, not 1989, as the court claimed. And then there's just this kind of weird thing where, like, Natalia's first adoptive family kind of rehomed her. I don't know if that's the right term. They sent her back to the adoption agency after like a year. And tried to kind of get a few disabled couples to adopt her, but there was perhaps a financial element involved because they would tell the couple that they would have to pay $25,000 in like legal fees. So two couples were kind of prospective parents for Natalia, and they were both just like, I'm getting weird vibes. So they didn't end up going through with the adoption. And also the adoptive mother, one of the couples just were like, yeah, let's get a psych evaluation. You know, this is a child who's been through a lot. Let's just make sure we know what's going on. The adoptive mother refused. So they were like, this is kind of a red flag.
Yeah.
They did both think that she looked like a child. And they were both just, and again, both of these couples were little people. And I don't think they had the same form of dysplasia, but they were like, yeah, like, it's ridiculous to be afraid of a child. Like, I cannot take out a fully grown adult, you know?
Well, also, because it's like, they were going through the steps to try to maybe adopt her. Like, they would not be trying to adopt someone who was not a child if they wanted a child. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, to add to that, Anna, the birth mother, it was interesting that the story, like the background she gave, that like when Natalia was first born, like she would have had to pay like $100,000 in medical bills too.
Yeah.
If they didn't adopt her, yeah. Which is...
Well, I think just because like to have surgeries and things like that.
Yeah.
And so what's also interesting, it comes out that you have to fill out like a ton of forms, right? In order to, and do like background checks and everything before adoption. So the Barnetts lied about having had domestic violence incidents at their home before they adopted Natalia. There was this one allegation where Christine alleged Michael pushed her and put her in a headlock and like very serious shit. And a neighbor said she never saw anything physical, but she would hear like screaming. And it's just like, why didn't they do any sort of background check?
I'm like, even if like, even asking people around to be like, hey, what's this family like? You know what I mean? Like if there's no, cause like the oh my God, that nosy neighbor. I mean, she did annoy me at times, but like she had some insight with this where it's like, they don't check with any of that for adopted parents. Yeah.
Very odd. So, and then, oh yeah, you guys remember that incident with the electric fence. So the interesting thing is there were actually witnesses to this. They interviewed a couple of them. One witness says when they were called over to the fence, Natalia was calm and there was no mention of Christine being threatened. He actually said Christine seemed to be making the situation worse. And then they also interviewed someone who was working at the farm that day. And they were like, if someone fell into that fence, could they get hurt? And he was like, no, that part of the fence wasn't even turned on that day.
So.
Not that they would know that. Like, not that Natalia would know that or Christine would know that. But still, there was never any risk.
Intimate danger.
And then this is the first time, like, Michael really changes his story. So they interview Michael, like, later on. It's, I think it's, like, 2022, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when in 2019, when they first interviewed Michael, he says that he was like 40 or 50 yards away. He heard Christine screaming and they run and they see Natalia trying to drag her into the fence. And that's really important because now later on, he's like, he didn't see what happened because they were running like a mile and a half away through the forest to get back to where the fence is. So he's so like, always changing his stories.
Yeah. That's, and I feel like it was important that they had those interviews so far apart because you were able to just cement the deceit that he brings to every conversation.
Yeah. And then in 2019, Natalia's interviewed by like a forensic investigator for the prosecution for this child abandonment case. And basically, like, she just describes a thing where, you know, Natalia gets dehydrated and sits down, and then Christine goes to pull her up and falls. And Christine called the cops because she thought Natalia was trying to pull her into the fence.
And also, like, during all this, Natalia said that, like, they had bad shoes for her, so her feet were bleeding.
Yeah.
She was, like, vomiting, not feeling well, so was not in a state of being able to overpower her adopted mother to Schwarzenegger her into a fence.
Yeah. So then, in a deposition in October 2022, Natalia says she never agreed to go to Lafayette. Christine just took her there. She denies harming any of the neighbor's children. She says that the Barnett's sons physically abused her. And then in the documentary, Jacob admits to this one instance where he was instructed by Christine to urinate on Natalia's bed as kind of punishment because Natalia was allegedly urinating in places other than the toilet, like, you know, her bed, which again is a very textbook sign of abuse. And also, like, that's not a vindictive act. Like,
no.
Kids wet the bed.
That's what that just is something that happened. Like, you know what I mean? It's not outlandish or malicious.
No, exactly. That's so twisted to like think it.
And it's also crazy too with all of that. Like, we're talking about Jacob. The other two sons, like, do not have a relationship with the parents.
With Michael.
Oh, with Michael, yeah. Okay. Oh, they still talk to Christine? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so they still live with Christine, apparently. And don't talk to Michael.
And Jacob just in the base. Oh, yeah. All right. So cutting to the present, which is like the last two parts of the doc, Michael and Christine were both charged with child abandonment. He was acquitted in October 2022.
I'm so pissed about this.
But the reason why this mainly is how that went down was because jurors weren't able to hear key evidence, namely that Natalia was born in 2003. They weren't allowed to bring up the birth certificate. They weren't allowed to, like, do any of that. There was even a doctor who was being talked to before begging to say, like, her growth plates were open. That's a child. Once you turn 18, your growth plates close. So that is a telltale sign that she's a child during all this. Even a juror that they interviewed after was like, we all knew he was guilty, but we had to go with what the judge said. So they all had to like sigh and say not guilty.
What's interesting is I remember even like in 2022, I kind of remember these headlines, not even these headlines coming out, but I was like Googling like, oh, what's up with Natalia? Like, you know, and then I saw that Michael got acquitted of child abandonment. And I was like, wow, I guess she was an adult. And then it's like, oh, no, nobody knew. We didn't know really until this documentary that they weren't even allowed to reference her being a child or an adult. So that kind of just throws out almost all the charges, basically. Like they just had to prove that they neglected a disabled person.
Yeah.
Which is harder to prove, especially if that person is supposedly an adult.
Because that's like even the people were like, well, what do we refer to her as if she's not a child? It's like a person.
Yeah.
A person, but okay.
Also, can we just talk about like the way that Michael acted in this entire bit? It was like giving me Michael Peterson energy. Yeah. I just did not like it.
I really did not like it. I was telling Sarah too, it seemed like him and his counsel were treating this like a fun reality show of like, yes, let's have pizza and beers before, oh God, running all around. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
He was literally acting like his lawyers were like the cool kids who like let him hang out with them. You know, he seemed very like the way he was talking about the lawyers was like they were the dream team. I'm like, relax. He just seemed very like, I don't know, happy to be doing this, to be filming this trial.
Over the moon. Like in the bathroom. Like it was his moment. Hands. It was his moment. All I wanted to do, and maybe it was the jersey me coming out, was be in that courthouse. I would walk right by him and go up to his mother who was with him and be like, you raised that. Know that. Oh, goodbye.
Also, his tears were just very Sandoval.
Like, I literally almost, I was going to lose my fucking mind watching this.
Yeah, it was the way that he acted while being filmed for this trial was really off-putting.
I'm like, we can't say the word child, but he was acting childish. Like,
yeah, like he really was just treating it like it was his big audition moment. Like, very over the top, very weird.
Then right after he was subpoenaed to bring evidence to Christine's trial, which also ultimately was dropped due to a lack of evidence. And Michael is continuing to blame this entire thing on Christine, calling her manipulative, a liar, controlling, all of that. He was like, we were all abused in that household, and Christine was the purveyor of abuse.
But he also, at the very least, completely enabled the abuse. Like even the instance where he talks about like her sleeping out on the porch, like you let that go on for 3 hours allegedly before you supposedly stepped in and stopped it. Like that's too long.
Well, that's why it was one of the interviewers or something was like, how did you allow this?
Yeah.
Also, how did he get a new woman?
I mean, Ted Bundy married someone that's like on the stand. You
that's
know,
true. It just, I was like, God damn, I guess it's I hard to date in Indiana. So yeah, all of a sudden he's talking about all of this, like that Natalia was forced to stand her face to the wall for 8 hours.
And then Michael just like, he said he came home and like watched a movie.
Yeah. And he was like,
and she was still there. I'm like, again, hello.
He also said a very graphic detail that like he watched Christine beat Natalia multiple times. And he even tried to like record it once.
Yeah. He like, oh yeah. He said he tried to record it.
And then she was like, how could you betray our trust? So I'm like, also, why were you bringing none of this up to any authorities or anything like that?
Well, because I guess he would argue that he was afraid.
It's just like, oh my God. It's just, and like, that's such a warranted thing for a lot of situations, but it just breaks my heart when it's like at the expense of a literal child that you have never cared about.
I mean, regardless of what happened to him, he still failed this child.
Failed miserably.
And what gets me even more heated is that he failed her, and then instead of trying to do the right thing, he's treating this trial like the fight of his life and is so exuberant when he gets acquitted, where it's just like, okay, if you really were the victim of abuse and Christine really was putting you up to this, why don't you tell the truth and take accountability?
That's the thing. Be like, this is how you could make it right in the world.
Yeah.
And then There's this gross DM from Michael to Christine saying, you beat the holy hell out of her. She deserved it. And Christine saying, whatever, she's evil, from 2013. So also, she's not denying doing any of that.
She's not denying it. So that just got me so mad. And then I started looking up Double Jeopardy statutes because I'm like, he basically admits to it, right? Like yes. He, in this documentary, he's admitting to her being a child and kind of says the only reason he's talking now is because he was Double Jeopardy is protecting him. But I'm like, can they get him on perjury now?
Also,
like,
can you get him on whatever was in that laptop that he shut?
Oh my God. Yeah, that was a crazy moment.
Because it seems like
maybe
we, from what I'm inferring, it was like Christine was trying to traffic or exploit Natalia.
Yeah.
And we can't really connect any dots there because they didn't go into that, but maybe they will get into that in the 2-part series that's coming out later this summer.
And also, they dropped charges against Christine in March 2023 due to lack of evidence, but I'm hoping that they will refile.
I hope so, especially after this push that I hope it's getting.
Or maybe they'll go for something more serious than just, I mean, not just, but then abandonment. Like maybe, who knows?
I'm also, I know she has a relationship with the two kids, but I'm also like, how were they raising them as well? You know what I mean? It just seems like they don't get into that, but it's just, there's a lot of questions that and a lot of justice that needs to be doled out.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, but
I don't even know what to say. I'm just stammering. Like
it's so much, but definitely watch it because it really did change my outlook on this case. And I'm really glad that I did watch it. It infuriated me, but now I feel like I know so much more about it. And I'm very much looking forward to hearing what Natalia has to say in the continuation of it.
Me too. I'm also like, where was all this stuff in, 2018, yeah, 2019? Like, I feel like all we would have needed was one video and we'd be like, okay, this is a child.
But to your point, he was waiting to dole all that out until he was scot-free.
Yeah, until he made his improv team and whatever.
Garbage, my God. Ugh.
Yeah. So watch the documentary. Tell us what you think. Let us know what other documentaries we should watch.
Yeah, you can obviously always put those in the Facebook group, Not Another True Crime group, or DM them to our Instagram at Not Another True Crime.
And you can follow me on Instagram at Sarah Lameme.
You can follow me at Cashmere Danny, Cashmere the K.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Not Another True Crime podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico, Sean Kilby, and Rebecca Sosmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Levine. Be sure to follow at Not Another True Crime on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and send all of your emails to natc@betches.com.
Betches.